John Yoder shares, before the colonialists imposed national boundaries, the King of Laos and Vietnam reached an agreement on taxation in their border areas. Those who ate short grain rice and built their houses on stilts and decorated them with Indian-style serpents were considered Laotians. On the other hand, those who ate long grain rice, built their houses on the ground, and decorated them with Chinese-style dragons were considered Vietnamese. The exact location of a person's house didn't determine his or her nationality. Instead, each person belonged to the kingdom whose cultural values he or she exhibited. And so it is with us. We live in the world, but as part of God's kingdom, we are to live according to his kingdom standards and values. And so, you know, one of the realities that we celebrate during this season of Advent is it's an invitation from darkness into light. It's a journey to the stable in the manger where Christ is. And during this season of Advent, we've lit the Advent candles on our Advent wreath. The first Sunday of Advent, first purple candle, I shared about the reality of the Lord our righteousness. And I confess to you that even though I've been to seminary and been a priest for many years, that word righteousness is still a hard word for me to wrap my mind around. I kind of read that word and my mind just goes kind of blank. But I took some time with you a couple of weeks ago to look into that word a little bit more. And the word righteous actually means to be right. I love how simple that is. Right, normal, safe, and saved. And I also reflected with you on Jesus' admonition to us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I encouraged you along with me during this Advent season to begin to develop our thirst and our hunger for righteous things, to realize that those are habits that need to be built and to begin to develop a taste for things that are right and good and pleasing to God. The second Sunday of Advent, last week, I spent some time reflecting with you on the importance of us sharing our light with those that are in need. Again, the second purple Advent candle. And last Sunday, we celebrated our outreach grant celebration. We had 14 charities lined up here at the 9 a.m. We gave $150,000 in grants to them. And it was just a wonderful celebration of sharing a financial blessing to them so that they could bless others in need. And we reflected on the words of Jesus from Matthew 25, that whenever somebody is hungry, we should feed them. Whenever someone is thirsty, we should give them something to drink. Whenever somebody is in prison or the hospital, we should visit them. And in that one sentence clincher that Jesus always does so well, whatever you have done to one of the least of these, you have done unto me. And so again, during this season of Advent, we're reminded of the reality that we're to be the light of the Lord, a vessel of the presence of the Spirit in the darkness and in the needs that people have in their lives. And then today is the third Sunday of Advent. And you'll notice there is one pink or rose candle on that Advent wreath. And that happens to be lit today because today is Gaudet Sunday or Rose Sunday. And so that's why we light that candle this Sunday. And what that simply means is rejoice. Rejoice. Our second reading today from Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say to you, rejoice. And then we're encouraged to pray in all circumstances, committing it to the Lord and trusting he will do the best for us. And so in this season of waiting, in this journey from darkness to light, I don't know about you, but I'm very glad there's a Sunday reserved for rejoicing, for celebrating, in anticipation of Christ's birth that we'll be celebrating in a little over a week. So that's what this week is about, this weekend. It's an invitation to rejoice. Is an invitation to look at the rose candle and to remember that rejoicing is part of being a believer. I've really come to the place in my life that if during your day as a believer there isn't some joy, there's something wrong, desperately wrong. I mean, of course we have struggles, of course there's darkness, there are things that break our heart, but there at least should be the joy in our lives that after we've confessed our sin for the fifth or sixth time that day, whatever it might be, that the Lord has forgiven us. And we can rejoice in that. We can certainly rejoice in the beauty of being in this place, in Naples, walking along the Gulf, or in some of the beautiful scenery that we have, rejoicing in the friendships that we have, and being able to worship God. There's an invitation in the Christian life on a moment-by-moment basis to be a people who rejoice, to be a people who give thanks and praise Him. And so that's what this Sunday is all about. And I want to focus in particular as well on Zephaniah, because let's take a look at that scripture together in here. Look at what it says. Again, sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Oh, there's that word. Rejoice. Rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. It talks about the Lord taking away the judgments against us, that He'll turn away our enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. And that's what I want to focus in on today, is that phrase, the King of Israel. You know, one of the realities that we live in is that we're actually part of a kingdom, which ties in with my opening illustration. You may or may not have realized that, but again, in the scriptures, we talk about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't know about you guys, but my wife, Janet, loves the royals. She just cannot get enough of the royals. I mean, when they're getting married in the middle of the night and I'm fast asleep, thank God, she's up downstairs watching the royal wedding, whichever one's happening. She's got the magazine. She'll talk to her girlfriends about it, about what she was wearing and the colors and all that stuff. Right over the top of my head. Not even looking at that or thinking about that, but she loves it. And you know what? That's great. I'm glad to see that she enjoys that. But one of the things you and I need to know is that we are also royalty. I mean, according to the Word of God, everybody here is either a prince or a princess. So ladies, if deep down inside you always saw yourself as a princess, you were right all along. You can tell your guy about it later on today, all right? You are a princess. And guys, you're all princes because we are part of the kingdom of God. The God that we serve is a king, the King of Israel. And that's very important for you and I to realize here today. And what I want to spend a brief amount of time with you on is look at some of the characteristics of the king that we serve, the King of Israel. Now, some kings aren't very nice. They can be just downright bad, making the lives of their subjects miserable. Dictators, people that just lord it over others and let them know that and drive them right into the ground. But that's not the king that we serve. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of Israel. Let me share with you some of the attributes that are outlined here in Zephaniah, and they just go on and on. But one of the first characteristics of your king is that your king is with you. God is with us. And in the scripture today, in Zephaniah, we read that He is mighty to save, that He takes great delight in us, that He quiets us with His love, and He rejoices over us with singing. Imagine that. Have you ever wanted anybody to sing to you? I know the ladies like that thought, like that idea. But guys and gals here today, the Lord is singing over you. He's rejoicing over you. That's what the scripture is telling us here today, that He rejoices in us. See that? He says He will renew you in His love. He will exalt over you with loud singing as on the day of a festival. That's what it says. There's another scripture that says He has surrounded you with songs of deliverance. I love that. I don't know about you, but there are some days where I have to say, Lord, it's about time to start singing that song because I need some deliverance right now with everything that's going on, right? But this whole idea that is being communicated here is that God is with you. God is not against you. And God is so with you that He is quieting you with His love. He is exalting in your presence and loving to be with you. And He is singing over you. He's rejoicing over you. And He's surrounding you with songs of deliverance. And so I think that's a wonderful way in which you and I can celebrate this King of Israel, that He's a God who is with us. That's a great start. Secondly, in this scripture, we read that God rescues. Specifically, He rescues the lame, those that have a hard time walking and getting around, and He gathers the scattered, those that are all over the place, those who don't have a sense of direction, those who don't know where they're going. He gathers them to Himself. And I tell you, this scripture is just full of stuff I love. He also, it says here, replaces shame with honor. Replaces shame with honor. So look at this down toward the bottom. This is where this scripture is, part of the scripture is. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. Do you realize that God wants to make an exchange with his people? And it's a pretty awesome exchange. He wants to take your shame and in exchange give you his honor. How great of a deal is that? Now, some of you have grown up in shame. Do you have a person in your life who seems to find everything that you do wrong? Right? It doesn't matter what you do. They just seem to find what it is that you're doing wrong. And then, of course, they tell you about it, too. Right? Yeah. We all have that person in our lives. And even when you're not around that person, it might have been a parent. It might have been a sibling, a brother, a sister. It might have been somebody in the neighborhood. Maybe they're not even around you anymore. But you have this voice that's been with you ever since. And it's a voice that constantly is catching you when you're doing something wrong. It's called the voice of shame. And you have a voice inside of you that's constantly shaming you and correcting you. And that's because that's what you grew up with. And the good news that I have for you today is that the King of Israel, this King of love, wants to get rid of that voice, wants to get rid of your shame and replace it with honor, replace it with healing, replace it with his grace, replace it with his love. Is that not awesome news or what? That is great news. Some of you aren't too sure yet. You're not smiling yet. Well, that's okay. I'm going to help you with this. So since this is the truth, since the King of Israel wants to take your shame and replace it with honor, one of the important things for you and I to do as his princes and his princesses is to no longer do the deeds, no longer be involved in the behaviors that create shame for us. Does that make sense? No longer do the things that create shame for you, but begin then to do the things that bring you into honor, that begin to create those good vibrations, those good feelings, that sense of rejoicing, that sense of, you know what, I'm with the Lord and I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. It's that piece I shared with you a couple of weeks ago about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. See, what a wonderful, wonderful promise that is for God, from God. One final piece about this King of Israel. He gives honor and praise among the peoples of the earth, restoring our fortunes. And so not only does God want to bring you from darkness to light, not only does God want to invite you on a journey from despair and shame to honor and hope, but God wants to bring you from a place where everybody knows that you didn't do it, or were putting you down, or weren't believing in you. And he wants to bring you to a place of honor. What God is going to do is he's going to let everybody know about the blessings that are in your life. People are going to look at you and they're going to see the difference. They're going to say to themselves, what happened to that guy? What happened to that person? She didn't behave like that before. What is she doing with that face that's glowing? Why is she smiling? What is she happy about? She was never like that before. And guess what that gives you an opportunity to do? Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the difference the Lord made in your life. Tell them about this King of Israel who restored your fortunes, who gave you hope and peace and honor in place of shame and despair and struggle, who brought you from darkness into light, into his glorious kingdom. You see? And that's why the Lord's going to restore your fortunes and let everybody else know around you about who you are, because God's going to bless you in a mighty way. Let me share something with you about this King of Israel. Jesus is an awesome king. I mean, I'm all about independence. I'm all about being American. I'm all about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all that good stuff. I'm all about, we're not a colony of England or anything like that. We're America. I'm an American. I got it. But I'm also part of a kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. I'm a part of a kingdom where there's a sovereign the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And at the end of the day, what he says goes. From his words come life and blessing and honor and grace and healing and power as long as I follow him in the light. Jesus is an awesome king, and his servants, his subjects, will know this as they follow him. I don't know what your favorite movie is, but I actually have a trilogy that's one of my favorites, The Lord of the Rings. And in The Return of the King, Aragorn's army draws out Sauron's evil forces and empties Mordor, the evil kingdom, allowing Frodo and Sam to reach the volcano and ultimately accomplish their mission to destroy the evil ring. Sauron and Mordor crumble as a result. The eagles rescue the hobbits just in time, and the Fellowship of the Ring is reunited. Aragorn is crowned king and takes Arwen as his queen, and a great celebration follows throughout the entire land. And the thing I love about this story is, and these stories, is it's an allegory. It's a work of fiction, but it speaks about our lives, doesn't it? That life is a journey. That life is a journey that is full of perils and opportunities at the same time. That life is a journey in which we live and we have relationships that help us through that journey, and sometimes we have to go it alone. There are kingdoms in the journey, and we belong to a kingdom. Everybody belongs to a kingdom, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, and it is a kingdom of light or a kingdom of darkness. And the choices that you and I make on the journey are powerfully important. They affect people's lives, they affect the kingdom, and they affect the outcome. And that's why these stories, we just keep getting back to them. We keep being pulled to them because it speaks about our life. It's like a magnet in steel. We're drawn toward it because it speaks about the truth. One day it tells about in the book here. One day, King Jesus will return to Israel. It's in Revelation. He will vanquish the enemies of God and of his people. He will establish his kingdom as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And it will be a grand celebration for most people. You want to be in the right kingdom at that moment, let me tell you. Make sure you choose wisely the kingdom you're in, because at that moment, it will have eternal consequences. One day, then, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and King, to the glory of God the Father. Satan will bow on that day. Hitler will bow on that day. You and me will bend our knee on that day and make this acknowledgement verbally to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And my point to you here today is, why not start today? Why not warm up your knees, brothers and sisters? Warm them up. You're going to be using them. And not only is there going to be a knee physically, but there's going to be a knee spiritually. You and I can only begin to imagine the immensity, the worship, the angels, the adoration around the throne of heaven. We can only imagine in that moment what it's going to be like to be around that throne of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in that moment where everything once again is brought into the holy order of God and brought to its proper place, kneeling before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I look forward to that day. I look forward to that kneeling. I look forward to that proclamation. But let's start today. We are part of the kingdom of light. You're called to serve the King of Israel, your sovereign, your Lord, the Almighty One, the great and living King that wants to bring you honor, that wants to bring you deliverance, that wants to bring you graces and power that you and I have yet to even begin to experience. And the world, hear my words, the world, your neighbors, this city, this state, this country, this world is looking and is waiting for the princes and the princesses.